Thank you, Gloria. All right. Well, thank you very much. Gloria's been telling everybody that I won an award for the best sports story ever. And it's a little bit of an exaggeration, but I haven't corrected her yet, and I see no reason to begin now. So, there are only nice awards. They're very... I first came out to Pittsburgh some years back when I was a little bit younger. I used to go to a different city every once in a while, and I'd stay for 3 or 4 days, and the idea is I'd come back with 3 or 4 stories to produce for the radio program. And we had a couple of good ones in Pittsburgh. We had the terrible incidents where several of the Duquesne basketball players were shot one night, and then, of course, the coach at that time was able, against all odds, to put together a basketball team anyway, and they actually won some games. It was a very entertaining team. Their strategy was play no defense. Get up the court as fast as you can, shoot the ball as fast as you can, and the theory was if you get off twice as many shots as the other team, you'll probably win. And they won a fair number of games. The second story was it involved the Pittsburgh Penguins, and that had to do with whether the Penguins were going to get a new arena. So that's how long ago the story was. And I got to meet with the fellow who was then the mayor and talk to several of the Penguins, and that was fine. But we needed a third story. So one of my colleagues went into Google and started Googling sports in Pittsburgh, and she came up with Jimmy Civetic. And I thought, well, yeah, I guess it's okay. We do a boxing story. That's all right for a third story, I guess. And we called, and Jimmy said, sure enough. He said, well, that'd be great. At the time that I was coming out, he said, I got a Golden Gloves thing that I'm putting on, and it'll be great. You can come, and we'll talk about it. And I said, fine. You know, that'll kill a couple hours the first night, and I'll have my third story. Yeah, exactly. So he said, tell him to give me a call when he gets to the airport, and we'll work it out. So I flew out to Pittsburgh, and when I got to the airport, I called Jimmy, and I said, he picked up the phone. I said, Jimmy, this is Bill Littlefield. And he said, who? And I said, Bill Littlefield, the radio guy, is I'm supposed to talk to you. And he said, about what? And I said, well, you're putting on this Golden Gloves thing tonight. And I was going to come and, you know, do a story. And he said, oh, yeah. He said, I had to cancel that. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, you know, it was going to be in this hotel function room. It was all set. And then they got worried about the lights. They was afraid we'd break them. And I didn't. And then it was in when. And it didn't work out. So I said, you mean there's no fights? And he said, well, there's always a lot of fights, you know. And I said, but none that you're promoting tonight. And, no. But he said, come on by the gym. We'll figure something out. And so we went to the gym, and sure enough, and by the time I'd gotten to the gym, which, by the way, the cab driver, I said, it's at 3rd and Ross. And he said, there's nothing at 3rd and Ross. What are you talking about? And then we got there, and he didn't know it was there, but it was. And by the time I'd gotten to the gym, Jimmy had a whole routine worked out. He met me at the door, and he said, look, he said, what you got here? You got your ex-cop, you got your ex-commie, and you got your ex-con. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, well, I'm an ex-cop. I was a police detective for many years, and I got this heavyweight from Russia. And he looks pretty good, and he's the ex-commie. And then the ex-con, he comes in, he's about 60 years old, 30 of those years he spent in prison, and he's coming in, and he holds the gloves while the ex-commie whacks away at him, and it's a pretty good show. And I said, well, maybe I have in fact stumbled into something against all the odds. And I got a pretty good story out of it. And then he said, oh, also, we got a card girl coming by later. And I said, a card girl? And he said, yeah, you know, the girls who walk around the ring with the cards that say what round it is. And I'll tell her to come by in her card girl costume, and it'll be fine. It'll be great. And he said, I'll get you a picture with a mayor. I'll get you a picture with a heavyweight, the next heavyweight champion. And I'll get you a picture with a card girl. And I said, the hell you will. Because that'll go right up on Facebook, and then my career is over. I'm finished. So nothing with the card girl. Thank you. But we had a great time, and then I kept in touch with Jimmy, which is challenging. But But we did that, and eventually some of the stories changed, and I you know, found out what had happened to some of the people that I'd heard about the first time I was out here, and it just occurred to me that it was becoming sort of like a Russian novel. And so I thought I'd better write some of this stuff down in a story before I forget it, and that's the story that Gloria was referring to. Before I introduce Jimmy, I do want to take advantage of the fact that there are many people gathered in one place to read just one piece of my own. And it's okay to do this because it's nothing like Jimmy's poetry. I wouldn't try to compete with Jimmy, but we are in a place which is dedicated to and recognizes one of the great champions of sports in this country or any other, and that, of course, is Roberto Clemente. And so I thought it might be appropriate to read a small poem or a bit of doggerel rhyming nonsense about another champion. And this is a champion who had four legs and is a horse called Zippy Chippy. And Zippy Chippy set an American record for number of races started as a thoroughbred horse without ever winning. And so on Only a Game, our program, we would report on Zippy's progress or lack of same as time went by. Oh, Zippy Chippy's now run 25 races, still hasn't won. Oh, Zippy Chippy's now run 37 races, still hasn't won. And he went on and on and on. And eventually Zippy got to 100, which was the record for number of races run without ever winning. And then, a couple of years ago, I read about Zippy, who had finally been retired. A lot of people didn't notice, thought he'd been retired years earlier when he was still going to the track. But I went to visit him up in Saratoga Springs where he was retired. And the people who were taking care of him allowed me to give him an apple. And I held out the apple and he came trotting across the paddock to get the apple. And the woman who was taking care of him said, "That's the fastest Zippy's ever run." Zippy Chippy wasn't Zippy, for despite his name, he tended not to run a lot, although he wasn't lame. 100 times he entered races, never did he win, and sometimes Zippy just stood still, not choosing to begin. The call would be, "They're off," but Zippy wasn't off at all. He'd look around as if to say, "Let's go back to the stall." Why, when other horses ran, would Zippy choose to be the only one unmoved by dreams of mighty victory? Some said that Zippy had no heart, and some said he was nuts. One theory had it that he was a fumble-footed klutz. But what if Zippy Chippy had a bigger brain than most? And what if he knew winning was an empty sort of boast? If all the winning did was help some wealthy guy make money? And what if Zippy found that idea sort of sad and funny? And what if Zippy thought, "They're going to feed me anyway? Why work as if without the work I wouldn't get the hay?" Zippy Chippy lives today upon a lovely farm, and there he doesn't do a single living creature harm. The people come to visit him, and some of them conclude that Zippy Chippy is a joke. And I would find that rude if I could not imagine somehow Zippy's worked it out. Perhaps he chose to beat the game, then beat it in a rout. He did not suffer injuries. He didn't suffer fools. He got himself tossed off the track because of racing's rules, which say a horse that doesn't try cannot participate. If Zippy figured that one out, I think it would be great. For Zippy need not run these days, and still he gets to eat. He lacks for neither food nor love. He is a horse complete. Now, this is a book called Take Me Out. It's sort of the play on Take Me Out to the Ball Game. My technical director back at Only a Game, I told him the title of the book was going to be Take Me Out, and he said, "Is there a target on the front?" Which will show you where his head was. I always, when I read these things, I say there are books for sale downstairs, and I will be absolutely delighted to sign them. Your best pal, Bill. Or in any other way that you might see fit. Father's Day is coming up, so please avail yourself of that opportunity if you're so inclined. Now it is my great pleasure to introduce my great friend and truly one of the most extraordinary combinations of qualities that I've ever known. There is a phrase, the Renaissance man, and it's just possible that that phrase developed some centuries ago, has never really found its full embodiment before. A retired police detective and poet and philanthropist extraordinaire assumed that mantle. Jimmy Savedic.